May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 723. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Hymn 723. May the Lord help us as we read together from his holy word. The reading is Psalm 17. The 17th Psalm. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvellous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us. Now may he help Benji to pray.
O Lord, do come now and have mercy upon us and teach us how to pray. Oh, that we might be as we have just read, and that that prayer might not come forth of feigned lips. O Lord, thou alone can give us true prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst indite it by thy Holy Spirit, and leave us not to ourselves. For, O Lord, we feel totally insufficient for these things. But, O, do enable us to lift our eyes up unto thee and to find our sufficiency in thee. Lord, do now remember us in mercy and help us to truly confess our sins before thee, to come unto thee with that humble, contrite spirit O Lord, and seeking that true repentance. O Lord, do make us honest in these things as we try to seek Thee. Lord, we come seeking Thy forgiveness. O, to know that our sins are put away, that we have that true interest in that work which Thou hast done, Lord, oh, that our sins are washed away by Thy blood, Lord, to know that Thou wast crucified for me. Oh, Lord, how solemn, yet 'tis our only hope. Oh, remember us then now, and enable us to truly confess these things before Thee. We do pray then that Thou remember each one in Thy house this day. Lord, Thou knowest how each one has come, those secret desires, those secret prayers, those longings. O Lord, those things that cannot be uttered to any man, but yet there are those groanings unto Thee. O Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt look down and hear, and Lord, that Thou wilt answer. O, that Thou wilt send forth those answers of peace, that Thou wilt be their helper, that Thou wilt guide and direct each one in that right way, in that true seeking of Thee, to know Thee, the one thing needful. O Lord, do help us each then to keep the things of time in their right place. Lord, we need Thy help day by day, hour by hour, oftentimes. Yet, Lord, we would desire to see Thee in these things, and that we might look for those greater things, those things concerning our never-dying souls, and things concerning eternity. Oh, that we might truly behold Thee and find a precious Jesus. Oh, that Thou mayest be our all and in all, for Thou dost all things. And Lord, we would not be unmindful of Thy many mercies to each of us. Thou hast brought us each into Thy house once more, and oh, may it be that right true desire to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to acknowledge all that Thou hast done for each of us. O Lord, for we're only here by Thy mercy. Oh, that we might be enabled then to truly speak of Thy loving kindnesses. O Lord, for it is all of Thy love to poor sinners. We pray then that Thy word this day might be made powerful in the hearts of one and another. O Lord, do make it effectual. Send it home. Enable one and another to keep these things and to truly meditate upon them, upon Thy word and Thy promises. O Lord, apply them to our hearts. We cannot take them unless Thou dost give them. O Lord, we oft times read Thy word and long that it might be our portion. O Lord, we do then pray that Thou wilt grant those words in season to each one. O Lord, that there might be, if it could be Thy will, that rejoicing in Thy word at the close of the day, that there might be those things for each to take home, those things never to be forgotten, Lord, words that Thou hast given us. O Lord, do then remember us this day. We're without Thy servant. O Lord, Thou knowest. Thou hast laid Thy afflicting hand upon him, and we do pray, that thou wilt remember him where he is. O Lord, that thou wilt give him all needed help and support, and if it can be thy will, to use the means applied to raise him up once more, to grant thy healing hand, that he might once more be seen, even here in this place, O Lord, to raise up a precious Jesus. O, have mercy upon him where he is this day. And Lord, we pray for thy servant we expect this night. O Lord, thou hast granted us thy favour once more, in that thy servant is expected. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt give him that word to bring, and that that word might be thy message. Lord, thou canst do these things. Oh, that thou wilt come and increase our faith and enable us to seek thee for it. Oh, Lord, to truly believe in thee. For how oft times we feel, if I could but believe, then all would easy be. Yet, Lord, thou knowest how oft times we feel so far off, so full of unbelief. O Lord, so cold towards thee, but oh, we do pray that thou wilt have mercy on us still and come over these things. Oh, that we might be as those that look for thy appearing, to seek thee. O Lord, for we read how thy servant in those days past looked forward to that crown of righteousness. And not only to me, but to all those that look for thy appearing. Oh, may we each be found then, looking unto thee, seeking thee. Lord, do have mercy on us now. And Lord, we pray that thy word might be truly made powerful, and that there might be those enabled to come and tell what thou hast done, to tell of thy loving kindness and thy help granted. O Lord, we do pray that thy Holy Spirit will cause these things to come. And Lord, we pray then for all thy servants. O Lord, several in affliction that we know of, and many others also. But Lord, remember each one where they are. Those not expected to preach again, grant them all needed comfort and prepare them for their heavenly home. O Lord, and do raise up those whom thou wilt to once more stand on the walls of Zion. O Lord, nothing is impossible with thee. Do help us then to look to thee for these great things. O Lord, and we pray for those amongst us entering those new paths and new ways. Go before them each, O Lord, whether they be near or afar. Lord, we all have the unknown way before us, and we need thee to guide and direct us to each, and to keep and preserve us in that right way. O Lord, leave us not to wander, for oh, how we know how our own hearts would soon turn aside into bypath meadow. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt keep and preserve each one, and we think particularly of the younger and growing race. O Lord, keep them in thy house. Keep them looking unto thee, trusting in thee, seeking thee in all things. Lord, have mercy on each one and plant thy grace in their hearts. Remember them then for good. And we do pray for those that have turned aside and have left this place. O Lord, we pray that thy word will reach them where they are, for nothing is too hard for thee. Turn their feet around. Bring them back to thee. Lord, remember then each one and cause those prodigals to return. Lord, we pray now for our country. Oh Lord, what do we say? Wickedness runs down our streets. Evil grows worse and worse. Lord, we have to confess these things before thee, but we still come. Oh Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Oh, if it can be thy will, raise up those in places of authority which possess thy fear. Oh Lord, turn our rulers around and show them where to look. Oh, that there might be those God-fearing men in those higher ranks of power. And Lord, and our Queen and family, Lord, have mercy on them, if it can be thy will. Oh, we look to thee to do these great things for us. We do now pray that thou wilt come and be with us this morning. Lord, we have not thy servant, but oh, we do pray that thou wilt cause thy word to be powerful, that thou wilt cause those words preached in times past to be life and light to our souls once more. Oh Lord, do come then and grant us each a true blessing. Have mercy on us each now. Go before us each through this day and bring us up to thy house this night. O Lord, as we seek these things, for thy great name's sake, amen.
Hymn 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333. I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham. You will find the words of the text in the psalm that we read, Psalm 17, and the fifth verse. Psalm 17, verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. The psalmist David had grievous trouble and long and persistent persecution from King Saul. Suspicion, jealousy, revenge actuated that unhappy king for years and moved him to seek the life of David. Grace in abundance was given to David to commit himself to his God. Over and again he saw God with him, had the fulfilling of his gracious word, was preserved in danger, and delivered from many deaths. The cause that was between Saul and himself, he commits to God, and asks not that he may be able to overcome with his own hand his enemy, but that God would take it up and judge. Hear the right, hear justice, look upon us, two dying men, both of whom must soon stand before thee and judge between us. Let it not be what I say that I am right, or what my accuser may say that he is right and I am wrong. But judge thou, O Lord. Do you feel like that sometimes in trouble? Is it not your petition, let my sentence come forth from thy presence? If you feel you are just and justify yourself in your own eyes, God's sentence may reverse yours. But if you condemn yourself as a guilty person, if you feel that in all things you fail, have failed, and can but fail, as you are a sinner, if you feel no disposition to take up your own cause, but ask the Lord to let his sentence come forth, let him decide the case, then the day will come when you will find that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from every sin, and the goodness of God will show you to have been right where you may have been said to be wrong, where you may have been charged. What a mercy it is to seek this. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, and most of all, fit me to die. We are hastening to eternity. Lord, do fit us for the end. We sin, we fail, we bring guilt on our consciences and defilement, and bring causes of separation between us and God. Lord, do justify us in Christ. Sanctify us by his blood and spirit. Subdue sin in us. Let not any iniquity have dominion over us, and bring us forth to praise thee. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress in violent accusations against even mine enemy. If in trouble you judge yourselves and leave your case with God, he will bring you through. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. By the word of God, which was a living word in him, a powerful word spoken to him by the Holy Spirit, by such a word the psalmist was enabled to hold fast and keep from the paths of the destroyer. Then comes the prayer, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. He saw and felt himself to be a frail man, a sinful man. Richard Hill, in his Deep Things of God, says, who had so much sin as David? And we know how foully it tripped him up. But here grace was in exercise. He knew his frailty. He knew that he was liable every moment to fall, that there were snares in his heart and snares in his path and difficulties on every side. He did not resolve to hold up himself. He did not say, I will take great care. I will watch my steps. I will look out for all the snares that I may avoid them. No. That spirit may live under a profession, but it is killed in the child of God from time to time. And he comes thus before his God, hold up my goings in thy paths, which thou hast ordained for thy people to walk in. Let not my steps be moved, let them not slip. Let me not turn aside to vain jangling, to worldliness, to covetousness, to drunkenness, and surfeiting with care. Let me not turn aside to self-help and self-will and self-strength and self-wisdom. But hold me up, Lord, prop me up. Do not let me prop myself up. In the text, there are these points to notice. First, what are the paths of the Lord? An important question. Secondly, the prayer. Hold up my goings in thy paths. Thirdly, the reason of this prayer, that my footsteps slip not. Lord, unless thou hold me up, I am certain to slip. My feet must be moved. First, what are the paths of the Lord? The answer is, first of all, the path of faith. He has laid it down that his people shall believe in him. Two requisites to vital godliness are stated in the Acts, namely, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Destitute of those, a man is destitute of life. The chief thing here then is this blessed faith. Says the Apostle, we walk by faith and not by sight. He who walks by sight will never walk in an even path. Circumstances ever changing, his feelings constantly changing, will make his paths very devious. Here he will run to escape an apparent danger. There he will run from what seems an inevitable death. Here he will go away from what may appear to be in some shape to him a shameful thing. There he will try to hide himself from some impending sorrow. He will never be in an even path who walks by sight. If you are guided by providence only, if you are impelled by your own spirit only, you will never walk in a straight way. But God has one way, one particular path well trodden, an old beaten track for all his children to walk in. There, so to speak, you will find the footsteps of the patriarchs, the fathers, the prophets, the psalmists, of all the apostles, and all the saints and martyrs of Jesus. They all walked that one way. Abandoned self, denied self, forsook reason and all appearances, clave close to God in Christ, and walked by faith in his person and his vicarious death. That is a straight way. It was never cast up in a line with providence simply. Never cast up so as to be compatible with fallen reason. Never cast up so as to accord with the ever-changing feelings of those who are in it. But a straight path, marked by blood, defined by the Spirit. This path, all God's living children walk in, and wish to walk in. And what is this walking by faith? It is this: a poor, sensibly guilty, weak and helpless creature, feeling that he can say truly before God, "I am as a beast before thee." That he can and does confess he has not learned the knowledge of the holy. Yet, seeing by the revealing light of the Spirit the person and work of Christ, receiving the report of the infinite merit of Christ's death, he says, "My soul, with all its guilt, with all the turpitude, that is baseness, of my life, with all the inconsistencies of my life, with all the dreadful sins of my heart, I cast upon the merit of the Saviour." That will forbid despair. It will bring comfort. It will yield strength. Make your face shine, enable you to lift it up. As it is written, "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." This blessed faith is wrought in the heart of every child of God. It has for its author the Lord Jesus. For its object, the Lord Jesus. For its finisher, the Lord Jesus. This faith honours God. It honours him above all else. When sin says it is too powerful to be subdued and too black to be forgiven, when the devil says there is no hope for one so exceedingly wicked as you, when many, many legal feelings rise up to tell you that you ought not to think of being forgiven, when you can hardly bear what you see in yourself and think how black and vile must you appear before God, even then, when the Spirit of Christ bears witness to the infinite merit of Christ's death, faith says, that will do. Only one more thing is wanted, and that is a solemn, powerful persuasion that Christ shed that blood for me. Even when that is lacking for a time, faith says, now I will stick to this. It becomes bold in praying. It becomes eloquent in arguing with God. As Job says, I would fill my mouth with arguments. It becomes persistent and importunate. It will take no denial. It brings a man to this one point. Here I must abide. Here if I am to die, I will die. Here if I am to be lost, I will be lost at the foot of the cross. It is a holy, blessed feeling in the soul that Christ is sufficient, a persuasion that he died and that his death can save a lost sinner. That is a good path. As many of you as may be in it, God help you and help me also as being in it to follow the psalmist in this prayer. Hold up my goings in thy paths. Hold me up in faith. May faith in my heart stand and move and prevail in the power of the eternal Spirit. You will be ashamed of yourself often, but you will never be ashamed of this. Ashamed of Jesus, soon afar, let midnight blush to own a star. Ashamed of Jesus, the only hope of a sinner, the only ground of hope, the only plea before God, the only light that shines in a dark place, in the very region and shadow of death, to all who sit there mourning. But we need a good deal of holding up in this way, for these reasons. First, that believing is contrary to fallen nature. It is opposite to corrupted reason. It offends the devil, and it is believing what you see not. Though now ye see him not, yet believing. Believing here means that you can believe God can, holy though he is, and glorious in his law and in the ministration of it, be more glorious in forgiving your sins. It is believing that he will be honored in forgiving you. It is no easy thing to go against yourself, struggling against wind and tide, uphill, the hill difficulty, against unbelief ever working in your heart, ever whispering against God and against your interest in him. That is one thing that makes it so difficult to believe. Imagine David with his eye on the throne, fleeing from it, fleeing before Saul. Imagine him, one man with a few discontented men following him, and the whole strength of the kingdom against him. How foolish, his heart may have said to him, and the devil also. How foolish of you to think you will survive all this opposition. But what is that compared with the apparent folly, as the enemy and your own heart may suggest, of a man drenched in sin, only sin in himself, and only doing sin, the imagination of whose thought is but evil, and that continually, seeing notwithstanding the Saviour, and saying as seeing him, "Why, I think I shall get through. I hope the Lord will forgive me. I hope he will save my soul. I think sometimes that I shall come out justified and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." You who have this faith, reckon this, that the whole strength of your corrupted nature, your blinded reason, your perverse will, your crooked affections, wrong thoughts, the whole will be bent against that little faith, which may seem but as smoking flax, but as a bruised reed. Oh, the discouragement you may feel. One day it is as if you can and dare venture on the Lord. Another, you say it looks like presumption for such a person to think God could have a thought, a kind thought of you. One day your heart is softened and you can pray with feeling. Another day it is hardened through the deceitfulness of some sin. One day you seem drawn to the Lord, and another day it seems as if you must say, "When I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer." And the Comforter, which should relieve my soul, is far from me. Well now, does it not need the omnipotence of God to hold you up in this way of believing? It does. Look for a moment at this great thing, that to fit you for heaven, you must answer all the requirements of God, meet all his claims on you. Why, the very thought will make your heart reel and sink within you. What? I, the vilest sinner, meet all God's requirements and claims? Impossible. Oh, but when the Holy Spirit comes and shows Jesus Christ to your faith, you will see then how he can answer to God's requirements and meet all his claims for you. You may unite with heart and say, "That he can, I nothing doubt, be it but his pleasure." Here is the struggle to believe, in hope, against hope, to cleave to a smiting God, to pray to a frowning God, to pray in the face of sin and Satan, law and wrath, ignorance and blindness and perversity in your heart, to pray against every interest you may have in this life apparently, to pray the prayer of faith, "Lord save, or I perish." I say, this is no easy path, but it is the designed, the ordained path for a child of God. By the testimony of the scripture and the teaching that he gets in his heart, he knows this is the only way by which he can reach heaven. I cannot preach an easy way, but I can tell you of a good God to whom you may offer your feeble prayers and prefer your humblest petitions, and he will not turn his face away from you. Hold up my goings then in that way. Hold up my goings in the path of believing all the promises. Where are they? All of them are in Christ, yea and amen. Some of them are in our hearts, and these latter are tried promises. All promises are tried. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Particularly, any word that may have been made over to you by the Eternal Spirit. If he told you that he would guide you with his eye, you may be very tried by that. As Joseph was tried by the word of God to him in his dreams, so you may be tried by a promise that God will guide you with his eye. Say you, I am not guided at all. I just drift and am driven hither and thither. Sometimes I do not know where I am going. I do not see my path. I do not see God's way. I only see that I am a weak creature and full of sin. Death comes on every feeling of liveliness in prayer, every hope in Christ. Death comes on all. I see my mortifications, my corruptions, my failings, my sinnings. I see self-interest. I see I am perverse. I see I am often hard and impenitent. But I see no guiding hand. I perceive no wisdom ordering my steps. And you say, I am ready to slip with my feet. Well then, I should say you are a very suitable person for God. And this word will well fit you. Hold up my goings in thy paths. Give me grace in the midst of difficulties, contradictions, and seeming impossibilities to believe the promise. Take Father Abraham as an example. It is written of him that against hope he believed in hope. Against all appearances he believed in hope. All the daily, all the natural impossibilities attending him, everything that said it is of no use, in the face of all, he believed. My brethren, cleave to the word God put into your hearts, to the promise which may be contradicted, apparently impossible of fulfillment. Cleave to it. Remember God's character as given by the Apostle Paul to Titus. God that cannot lie. Remember, it is written, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. He will turn things round one day. When Balak and Balaam together sought to curse the people of God, the wisdom and power of God turned that intention into a blessing. And when providence and sin and Satan shall seem bent on your destruction, and perhaps appear to be near to an accomplishment of the end you much fear, remember that there is a God in heaven who will chain Satan, subdue sin, and save you. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Hold thou me up. Hold this little faith of mine, this faith that is near destruction as I judge sometimes, that seems like going out, as if the next wind will blow this smoking flax completely out into darkness, that the next enemy that comes will trample this bruised reed underfoot and make it a hopeless thing. Do remember thy holy promise. It is a great thing to believe in the promise that you have, the word that fell on your heart, the truth that did you good, the view you got once of Jesus Christ that made you think and believe you would yet get other views, the sweet feeling of hope that warmed your heart that was like a living fire, a glow in your affections. Plead Christ, and plead the promise in him that God who gave it you, though perhaps you often doubt it, would renew it and increase it. Hold up my goings, hold, Lord, these poor feeble knees and these faltering feet up in thy paths, in the path of believing. In the path of believing that God justifies the ungodly that believeth in Jesus. It is a great truth that Christ is the grand object in the gospel, that the very person of Jesus Christ and the death of Jesus Christ are the great delight of God, the glory of heaven, the sanctification of the redeemed there, and the hope of the redeemed on earth. The great, the blessed Lord Jesus, Almighty God incarnate, the Mediator, the High Priest, the Advocate, the Saviour. What a person! And through him, God justifies the ungodly. Think of that great truth in the Romans, who was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. Who delivered him? His Father did. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Many pulpits in the land today ring with terrible and blasphemous denials of this, the vicarious death of Christ. I would fain lift up my feeble voice and say, this is God's gospel, this is God's revelation, this is a sinner's hope. even as it is the Father's satisfaction and the Father's delight. Sinner, Christ did die for his children. He did purchase the church with his own blood. He did himself bear our sins in his own body on the tree, and the Father was pleased to bruise him, to put him to grief. So that when you, a poor, faltering, failing creature, shall make that offering of Christ your plea and bring it to God the Father's notice, he will be pleased, and Christ shall see in you of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Oh, but you need holding up here. You need binding to the cross. You need to be propped up every minute in this believing. For all sin and devils will oppose it. Hold up my goings. My friends, if the cross is set before you, your eyes will gaze on it, and gaze on it, and gaze on it. It will bring heaven to you. In time you will say, I know. I know he died for me. And then you will say that the minister did not half preach Christ crucified, and the minister will acknowledge it. I have seen in Christ crucified what my tongue will never utter. Oh, the glory of God! But it is not easy to believe. People may tell you, once you have faith, you ought not to doubt or question anything. But then it is not a question of oughts, but a fact that you have conflict, a sore conflict. When the devil says, there is no help in God for you, when he says, and perhaps with a truth, you have never been told by God's own mouth that Christ died for you. Therefore, what ground have you to hope? Then you will need all that little faith that you have to hold fast to this, that God justifies the ungodly, and to feel, now, Lord, if I perish, if thou wilt help me, I will perish pleading this. Perhaps you can say to him, in the pit of endless ruin, let it never, Lord, be said, here's a sinner perished suing for the boasted Saviour's aid. It never will be said, it never can be said, never. Hold up my goings in thy paths with respect to a free and full justification, a full salvation. Now here two persons are sure to meet, the Lord Jesus and a sinner. The Lord Jesus, suitable for the sinner. And what is but little known, perhaps, the sinner suitable for the Lord Jesus. That is a great thing. And when these two meet, they will mutually embrace. They will mutually praise each other. Ah, says a sinner, I cannot believe that. I cannot believe the Lord will ever praise me. You will believe it when he does. What will he say? Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. And what will you say? This is my beloved, and this is my friend. That one whom you try to describe, but fail to do so to your own satisfaction. You have to conclude with the church. He is the chiefest among 10,000. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. God in all his excellencies. God in all his love. God in all his goodness. God in all his power. God in all his patience. God in all his merit. Man in all his beauty and excellency, united to this blessed God, Jesus Christ. Oh, how beautiful, how wonderful. You will not then wonder at the church saying, when she got a revelation of him and was drawn near to him, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And then you can say, the savour of his good ointments is to me better than wine, better than the earth, better than all the perfumes that men can make. But I say again, you will need to be held up in this. Oh yes, for you have a strong opposition. A mighty tide will hold and threaten to carry you back, and you will find swimming against that no easy thing. But still you have a faithful God who will not let you sink, who says of a weak believer, God is able to make him stand. I will leave this now. Look at the great question, whether you have faith. Think of the terrific opposition you must meet with. Unbelief, carnal reason, impure affections, a stubborn will, guilt on your conscience, turpitude in all your actions, an opposing devil tempting you on every hand, at every permitted point. And what then? A guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. That will do. The Lord bless you. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £915, and for the TBS on Friday evening to £860, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Woodhouse is expected to preach this evening, Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Wallace is expected to preach in the evening and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us now close with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. 329.
going to save them.